Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.byteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my special guest is Maya Rose Nash. She is the author of The Tarot Diaries, A Journey Through Witchcraft and the Tarot. The realm of the tarot has always fascinated Maya, from its mystifying origin, the uncanny accuracy in pinpointing information, to the beauty of the images depicted on each card. She has been both the student and teacher in this province. Maya's longing to share the magic of the tarot inspired her to share her personal journey through witchcraft and the tarot to enlightenment. It's Maya's hope in reading the Tarot Diaries that you will discover the magical power within yourself and the tarot. Maya's book is available from Amazon.com, and you can find it also on Lulu.com. And you can find out more about Maya by visiting her website, which is MayaNash.com. That's MayaNash.com. Good day, Maya. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi, Robert. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, and boy, did I dream of this day for a long time when we were talking about your book. So,
thank you, and I have to thank you again. You just are such an angel to put up with me in a process like getting a book ready. I know it was not easy for you, so thank you again.
My pleasure. I mean, it was truly fun. I mean, it was you were easy to work with, and also I learned a lot by reading the book. So I mean, it was a win everywhere. So anyway, I'm really happy that we were able to get that. So let's talk about the book, The Tarot Diaries. What inspired you to write the book? Where did the seed of inspiration come from?
Well, people were always asking me if I can teach them how to read the cards. And years ago, I used to give classes at the shop. But now with caregiving and, life is hectic, I don't have the time for the classes. And I've always wanted to write about the tarot. And the other question I get asked is, when did I know I was like this? Or, how did I know I was psychic?
Mm-hmm.
And how do other people know if they're psychic? So I started just playing around with the idea, and I'm like, it's time to write. And when I decided, I started finding old journals because, let me tell you, I keep journals like you would not believe. Some are like 2 pages. But it was strange because I found a book that I kept in the 60s. And, I mean, it was all crinkled and yellowed, and my handwriting was even worse than it is now. And so it just all came together. I said, maybe I should do it like a diary. But to explain about my connection with the tarot was really impossible without bringing the witchcraft aspect into it. So I said, maybe this is a perfect time to get the message out, to dispel the negative comments. People sometimes tease me about it, and I don't know. And it, as a diary, really both the tarot and witchcraft are who I am or what I am. So it just all came together that way.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's you're right that I think, you know, there's the preconceived ideas that people have about tarot and about witchcraft, and your book, if, by telling your story, you know, with that personal story with it, it's I think it's very disarming. You know, I mean, people will be able to relate to it, and it's kind of like a, you know, tarot and witchcraft light in a way, to be able to,
right.
You know, to do it.
And it really, several of my friends that don't follow the same path that I do, after reading the book, it opened them to a lot of questions. And I think one in particular was grateful. She doesn't always ask me a lot about the craft. I don't know if she didn't want to offend me, but she was very happy that, you know, she could kind of just pick up and say, gee, this is more about nature, you know. Mm. And, oh, now we know what she's doing on the full moon and the new moon. We even incorporated when we had the book launch, and it was held at my friend Susan's new shop, The Plaza. And she was very gracious to open the shop to us. And at the end, we concluded by doing a new moon wish ceremony. And we told people, if you're not comfortable, you know, you can leave. Many people stayed. And we just all kind of wrote out our intentions for either the coming month or the coming season. And my two witch sisters, Joe and Loretta, it was such a beautiful ceremony that for days later, I was hearing from people that don't follow the path but stayed. And they were saying how beautiful and how they felt empowered, how they mm-hmm. felt like a negativity leave them after the ceremony. So that was heartwarming to me.
That is, you know, I mean, again, you know, that's one of those things with, you know, the idea of how nature-based, you know, the beliefs are. You know, I think if people saw that first, I mean, there would be a major shift. I mean, well, because I think nature is finally getting back to getting some of its respect.
Right. Well, we even chose the date of the launch, May 4th, because it was a new moon in Taurus, which is also my sign. So it just everything was connected.
Yeah, so, Well, now, in your book, you mentioned the dedication. You mentioned, is it Cosmina, or how's that?
Cosmina, yes.
Cosmina, excuse me. So, and she seems to have had a major impact on this journey of yours in the tarot and witchcraft. So, you might kind of share a little bit about who she was and how she impacted that journey.
Well, it's interesting how we end up in the exact place, be it a supermarket or a store or a church or a park. We don't meet anyone by coincidence. And I had a dear friend at the time, and she and I, both rebellious, like, we used to sneak into Manhattan, which was maybe like, I don't know, 20 or 30 miles from our home in the Hudson Valley. Of course, the parents didn't know. And we just thought
it's
we were the
coolest.
Yes. We were just the coolest. And all we wanted was something from the village, something from New York that would make us cool. So we'd go and we'd just sit and look at people. So this one day, we passed this really great shop. It was an old store with awesome jeans. I mean, bell bottoms at the time. That's what everyone was wearing, and, you know, except for us. So we went in, and, you know, I had a couple of dollars, and it was old and kind of, it was filled with incense, and I'm looking around, and I'm like, what am I going to buy? You know, I maybe had $20 on me, and my friend was looking, you know, in another rack, and I happened to notice this older lady sitting at a table with incense, with cards, and I think at first she scared me a little because I'd never seen anyone like her. She had this flowing black hair, and I even mentioned in the book, as I got closer to her, I really thought that that's what almost like a hippie version of Elizabeth Taylor would look like. Her eyes were violet, and I was just fascinated. And I was watching her, and I'm like, what the heck is she doing? Like, what is, you know, with the cards? Then I'm like, oh, I don't know if she can see me. So I kind of backed away, and her daughter approached me, and she, you know, she introduced herself, and she explained, you know, that it was her mom and what she was doing. And, you know, she asked me if I'd like a reading. And, you know, me, I always want clothes and jewelry. And I'm like, I don't know. But again, having that bad girl side, and this would have been so wrong, you know, having gone to Catholic school. And I'm
right.
Like, oh, what the heck?
So wrong, you have to do it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that got me in a lot of trouble. And let me tell you, a lot of the good stuff did not make that book. Mainly because, I mean, my children all know, but I don't think they want you all to know, so. But we, you know, I did have a reading, and none of it made sense. And looking back, I'm like, holy goddess, everything made sense. But I abruptly left when she predicted, and I get emotional. She predicted a baby boy, and she said soon. And I was more insulted, I think, than anything, because I didn't even have a boyfriend at that part of my life. And I stormed out of there, and I just could never get that out of my mind. So again, the, you know, seeking danger, or the walk on the wild side, went back several times, and we developed a friendship, the three of us. And I just there were beautiful parts of my childhood, but there were very troubled parts, and she was really someone to lean on. And she, every time I thought I was insane, she would point out that I was the opposite, you know, and always made me, both of them made me feel like someone understood me, and that I wasn't wrong or bad. And they really took me under their wing. And I often, you know, to this day, well, now I'm a little bit more knowledgeable, how much maybe easier my life would have been had I moved away with them. You know, because I'm, you know, when you read the book, I made many, many wrong choices. And, but
yeah.
I was supposed to be here, then I put that
That's
in the
right.
book, you know.
Right.
You know, but she just opened me, excuse me, to the craft. And although she never called it witchcraft, she just called it the craft. And, you know, she never referred to us as witches. We were pagan, you know, but it was fascinating, but it felt real. I that's when I didn't feel like I was crazy or
right.
bad, or I'm like, this is who I am. And sadly,
yeah.
You know, she passed, and within a year, her daughter as well. And I think that she just, her heart was so broken losing her mom.
Yeah. Yeah, that
know,
happens a
it,
lot. But, yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, you're right. It's just, you know, when we look back there, those points in time where we just, you know, recognize that, you know, how we thought, how we were, you know, where we were going, our travel. We thought we knew what we were doing, and all of a sudden, you know, there's this major shift in the road, you know. So it seems like we can remember, you know, those particular times, you know. I mean, they seem to stand out for people. You know, it's really important to recognize those crossroads.
And I often wonder, had I not met them, especially Cosmina, I think I would have been a mess even now. I would have always, or maybe, you know, I don't know, but
yeah,
I'm so
yeah.
grateful that for the timing and,
right.
you know, for having that kind of rebellious side. It brought me to people that I needed to meet for
right.
either inspiration or for pain. You know, we if we're lucky, we learn from pain and mistakes, and we're always given the opportunity to kind of make amends, and
mm-hmm. yeah.
well, at least I think.
I agree. So now, a lot of the story, as you mentioned already so far, you know, is kind of your personal history. Did you have any reservations about, you know, putting this out there? And, you know, was there stuff, well, I already kind of alluded that there were some things that weren't in there, maybe from Cosmina. But, I mean, you know, was it hard to kind of select, you know, exactly what to include?
Oh, yeah. It took me so long to do it because, like I said, I edited out all the, I'm going to say good stuff, and I use that word loosely.
Okay.
The other thing is I didn't want to take the focus off of what the book was about. I did not want it to become like a Me Too kind of book. Do you know what I'm saying? It
right.
would have mm-hmm. totally changed what the book was about.
Yeah. The focus was the tarot and witchcraft. And you're just a method for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows, down the road, you know, maybe that other book will come out. But for right now, you know... But there's still,
baby
you know,
steps.
It is, and it's hard, you know, because I'm wondering, like, God, did I give out a little bit too much information, or, you know, but so far, wait, knock wood, I haven't gotten any nasty comments or threats
well,
or.
Yeah, well, there's. There's going to be some negativity. Just, you know, brush that off, whatever. I mean, because it happens to every single author. You know, I mean, if you don't tick off someone or get aroused with them, you didn't do it right. You know, you kind of, that whole idea is to get emotional and learn things, so.
Oh, all right, then. We'll
yeah,
wait till Mercury goes retrograde. That should be fun.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's just, you know, the one thing that I have found is that, you know, because I've, you know, with the books I've had out, you know, I've had the good reviews and then those that were, well, it would be better if, you know, I won't say that there were, you know, but I mean, and when at first I kind of took those personally, it's like, you know, I wonder, you know, could I have done that better or could I, you know, should I? So anyway, Then after a while, it was interesting. I was noticing that it was a particular type of person, the kind of person who would says, you know, I could and would write a book, but, you know, I just don't have that.
But hasn't.
Right, or the perseverance or the resilience to do it, you know. So, but those are the kind, you know, that happens. So should that happen to you, if it does happen, oh, it doesn't, but if it does, then you can just kind of take that little pause and that break thinking, okay, you know, I bet you'd have a challenge getting one out. So, but anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone's entitled to their opinion,
right.
But, you know, I make out like I'm all big and tough, but I'm really, like, mushy, and I shouldn't even be saying that. No, I'm... You know what I mean? Like I like to please.
I know how that is. And,
yeah, that goes.
But anyway.
That goes back to the early parts of the book.
Yeah, exactly. So now I have had many a tarot deck, you know, and then I've, you know, been around tarot for a long time. The one thing that surprised me when I was reading your book that I hadn't heard before, and maybe I just wasn't looking, but anyway, it was the, in your book you discuss the fool's journey through the major arcana, and it's the fool kind of traveling the arcana. So for those listening who may not have heard that perspective with the major arcana, would you mind sharing just a little bit about that?
Well, the fool being the beginning of the journey. And if you look at the fool, he's so young and innocent and vulnerable. So what better way to begin the journey of the major arcana than with him? And as you go through the rest of the deck, each person, each card brings another lesson or another strength or a challenge. So it's all about the tools he finds along the way. But you'd have to start with him. You know what I mean? You'd have to start with him.
Yeah, and you know, as far as the numbers, you know, he is the beginning point.
Yes.
But I'd never heard about it, you know, as a journey through. I mean, I just, whenever I learned about, you know, what I do know, it's just, you know, from the decks, you know, that I receive and read about them, and it really focused more on each one individually. I mean, you know, I mean, I never really focused on the interconnectedness between them.
But that, I think it's an important part, and I'm glad you picked up on that, because now you'll see them differently. You'll see, like, how they're either chapters in a book or pieces of a puzzle. And I think it becomes more beautiful when you see it that way, when you see the whole picture.
Yeah, oh, I agree. And, you know, and... It actually, you know, one of the challenges for me whenever I was doing cards for myself would be to, you know, looking at a group of three to try and find that message, that common message. And so often, I mean, it would be, you know, if there were major cards involved, I mean, it would be truly just what the stereotypical interpretation of that card, you know, that one and then that one, and, you know, rather than saying, you know, maybe how these two fall together within the deck, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I think for people who, you know, are reading cards, you know, either for themselves or, you know, for others, that would be an easier way to slide into the understanding of what the group means.
Yes, I think it, I don't know, it just makes it more interesting. You get the journey, and I think it's important, very important for people to realize that when they're reading or interpreting the cards, you have to listen to your gut. There'll be times that the impression I get has nothing to do with the book meaning of the card. There's other times that certain symbols will, like, jump off at the card, and I'll say, what am I, I'm embarrassed to say this to the person. Why am I getting, I'm just going to say a rabbit, you know,
mm-hmm,
just for an example.
Right.
And, I'll have to say, oh, you know, I'm getting a rabbit. And then they're like, oh, you know, they'll go into an explanation. I'm like, oh, that's why I was getting that. So in reading the cards, it's important to kind of listen to that, you know, your psychic self,
mm-hmm,
and kind of weave them, you know, weave it all together. Cosmina, and I'm sorry, early on, Cosmina and her daughter only used the majors. They never bothered with the minors. And, you know, at a certain point, I said, well, I'm going to have to get to know the other ones, too. And it was like overwhelming, 56 cards that I have no clue. And now I look back and I don't know how you could do it without, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But that was their
right.
tradition, that was passed down to them. And, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing that, you know, is for me, I've come to recognize is that so often the tarot is just the means of focus, you know, for someone who's trying to, or someone who's, you know, tuning in, that it's, you know, it's not even necessarily what the cards are, but it's just, you know, gets the individual who's, you know, reading into the cards, gives them, you know, something to focus on and can get all, you know, things like rabbits, you know, coming into the head and not judge it and just say it, you know. And so, you know, yes, they're important to kind of as far as what they stand for, but also I think it's just as strongly as how they work together to bring out the intuition of the person holding the cards.
The other thing for me, I 9 times out of 10 use the Celtic cross spread. And the position of the cards often kind of help me focus on, especially with the timing. I will tell everyone I am not good with the timing unless I really hear like Tuesday at 7, you know, because
right.
there's no timing in that realm. So the cards kind of help me that way. You know, the position of the cards help me.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're about halfway through the show. Maya, I want to take a quick break, and then only about 90 seconds. And then when we come back, would you mind sharing with us a tarot story or two that were memorable for you, that kind of were something that that you won't forget, that was along your journey, okay?
Okay, I'm going to grab a bottle of water, and I'll be right back with you.
Great, thank you. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. And we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone. Thank you for staying with us. And just a quick reminder, since we're now streaming live on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the time varies anytime from 1 to 9 p.m., that if you don't want to miss a show, just go ahead and subscribe for free on any of the platforms that we operate, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, and Blog Talk Radio. And on the homepage, there are links to all of those. And again, you can subscribe for free. Okay, so back to the show. Again, today my very special guest is Maya Rose Nash, and we are talking about her new book, The Tarot Diaries, A Journey Through Witchcraft and the Tarot. And again, Maya's book is available from Amazon.com and Lulu.com, and you can also find out more about Maya by visiting her website, which is MayaNash.com. Okay, with that, we're back, mm-hmm. Maya.
And they can also pick up a copy at my shop, Mind Over Matter, at 85 South Broadway in Nyack, New York, or they can contact me directly.
All right. That's perfect. Yeah. I mentioned, I'm glad you brought up the Mind Over Matter, because I wanted to make sure to get that in there, that you know, we're connected on Facebook, and I love the postings that you do of all the little displays that you do at Mind Over Matter. They're real fun. It looks like it's a fun thing to do.
Thank you.
Okay, so now
you want a funny story, or you
No, we can take any kind, funny, impactful, surprising. Oh no, not there. We didn't want to go there.
I think the most interesting ones are more from, like, celebrity, and I have a rule, like, celebrities, unless I have their permission, I will not discuss. And also anything with law enforcement, you know, cases, I will never discuss. Like, people don't know what I'm doing behind the scenes. But I will tell you. I just respect everyone's privacy.
Right. That's right.
But several years ago, I would always do phone readings for this lady. Never met her in person. It was always over the phone. And I always felt like I knew her right from the first phone reading. And I'm like, what is it about her? And a couple of years down the road, she decided to come in. As soon as I saw her, I'm like, where do I know her from? And she sits down, we're doing the reading, and halfway through the reading, I'm like, oh, my goddess, I know you. I've seen you on TV. And she goes, well, and I'm like, and I named the show, and I'm like, I hated you so much, hated your character, that I stopped watching that show because you were such a B-I-T-C-H. And then after that, I kind of calmed down. I became Maya again. But she was so cool, and we actually became friendly, and she was a guest on one of my radio shows years ago. So that was, like, I normally don't react like that, but I'm like, you know, I named her character. And then the interesting thing, I guess it was Friday night, I had a small group come in to the shop, and the one gal came in, and I'm doing the reading, and something with the mother came up, and I'm like, is there a health issue, a heart issue? And she's like, well, not her heart, but something else. And I'm like, I'm feeling her heart. Like, and, you know, she got a little upset. She left very quickly. If anyone that's listening has been to my shop, like, people wait in the hallway. And so the girl left, the next one came in. There was no opportunity for them to really chat.
Mm-hmm.
As it was the girl's mother. And I didn't know that. And I said, you know, the cards indicated. I mean, you don't know who I'm talking about, so I'm not putting their privacy out there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, the heart. And she's like, I'm sitting here and I know when I leave here, I'm going to have to go to the emergency room. I think I'm having a heart attack. And she said, but my daughter just left. And I'm like, holy goddess, that was the daughter. So I said, maybe you should just go now. And she's like, No, I want to have my reading. And I'm like,
priorities.
We can do it another time.
Really?
And she insisted,
yeah.
And her friend later texted me and said I did take her, and she's going to be okay. There was a little issue, but, you know, she wasn't
mm-hmm.
having a heart attack. It was something else. But I'm like, that was so weird. But the really interesting thing about cards, I think it was last weekend we had the full moon, right? No, the weekend before. I don't even know what day I'm in. Usually the days leading up to a full moon, every single person will pull the moon card.
Mm.
That particular weekend, everyone was pulling the moon and the death card. The death card, because the moon was in Scorpio, and Scorpio is the death, you know, in the deck is the death
mm-hmm.
card. I'm like, look at these cards. Know that it's a Scorpio moon. It just amazes me how the cards know. If there's something
yeah.
major going on the news, there'll be a similar card. A couple of years back when the Pope was visiting the Bronx, which is, you know, relatively close to me, every person was pulling the Hierophant. And the Hierophant's the Pope of the deck. I'm like, these cards are amazing. They just know.
Yeah, it kind of makes you, you know, think, you know, about the idea of, you know, the just the what's like what's in the air, so to speak. You know, just the whole energy, the zeitgeist.
See, exactly.
Everything going on.
The power, what powerful tools to be able to pick up energy, like universal energy. It gives
yeah.
you a whole new respect, like respect for the way we handle them. Just the way I keep them when they're not in use. You know, I just, they're almost like, I don't know, like my little coworkers, or, you know what I mean? Like
little dwarf helpers.
Yeah. My little, I don't know.
Yeah.
My coworkers.
Yeah. Well, you know, that kind of brings me to one question I was going to ask about, care of, a deck. So, what is your preferred method? How do you feel that one should treat their deck?
Well, the first thing people need to do is take them out of that cardboard box they came in, and throw out that little tiny instruction book. Get rid of it. And for me, I wrap mine in silk. If you could see my tarot cloth, you could tell how old in the bag. It looks like, I can't even tell you. But I wrap them in the cloth, and I have a black pouch that I keep them in, and there's all different charms that I've gotten over the years, you know, attached. I keep a sage leaf in the pouch. I keep certain crystals in the pouch. And I cleanse them. You know, with the full moon, I will cleanse them. I wave them through incense smoke. And before I start a reading, or in between, like, the initial reading and the questions, I have chimes that I kind of do a blessing over the cards with them, and, you know, so they're ready for the
mm-hmm.
person. But it's
yeah.
when I hear people say, oh, well, the box, get them out of the box, play with
yeah.
them, wake them up, get to know them.
Yeah, you know, that's the one thing, and I have to admit, so I'm the first one who would have gone to the little book, read the little book, and made sure that they were nicely kept in that box that came in. So, but anyway,
no,
that
because
was
you suffocate
mm-hmm.
them. They need
mm-hmm.
to breathe. They need to pick up the vibrations. And if they're in that little box, they can't. They hate those little instruction books.
uh-huh.
They kept us off of us.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I think, you know, the whole one of the major functions, one of the major, I guess, benefits of the cards is that, you know, they can be very helpful in opening up the intuition, you know, of the person holding the cards or reading the cards, because it's, you know, the one thing that I've learned, and I've seen it happen time and time again over the years, is that people, once they start, you know, they'll kind of do the follow by the book kind of sort of things, or what, you know, they, what some of the standard interpretations
no.
are. But then as time goes on, they begin to get the little hits like you get normally, you know, and then, you know, trusting them. It's kind of like just a process, you know, and it's they're kind of like a little crutch to be able to help you walk.
Or just even for counsel, you know, I'll get a gut feeling about something, you know, personal, and then I'll right away say, is this anxiety? Is this wishful thinking? So I'll go to the cards. And there are times I'm like, oh, this card doesn't mean this for me. You know what I mean? So I have to really ground myself and just say, for the highest good, you know, let me know what
yeah.
I'm not seeing, or, you know, but they, I don't know. To me, I just always felt like I had a friend with me when I had
mm-hmm.
my cards, you know, like that I wasn't alone. If that makes
you know,
any sense.
Oh, no, you know, and you know, whoever is giving that guidance, whoever is kind of directing, you know, the helping you with the cards and the, you know, the insight, you know, that's the success of, you know, the cards. I mean, and recognizing, like you said, you're not alone, you know, that. And then especially if you start following your intuition and it's working for you, then it's like even better, you know.
You know, I was just thinking of this will show you how the cards really are all-knowing. Last fall when I was in Salem, I picked up a deck at, you know, one of my favorite shops. And I always, I have a huge collection of many different types of tarot, but I use the Tarot of the Moon Garden. And in this store, it was the last deck, and I'm like, oh, they're meant to be mine, you know. So I couldn't wait when I came home to start using them. So you really need to break them in. You just can't open that little box and go to it. You know, I was starting the process, and
right.
At a certain point when I felt they were ready to be read, I would say to my client, would you like the newer deck or the well-seasoned deck? And one day the lady chose the well-seasoned deck. Now, off on my large, to the end of my large desk, was a large cup of tea. I was nowhere near it. My elbow didn't hit it. Goddess maybe knocked the tea over, and everything was saturated, totally ruined the cards, the old deck. And I looked at the Salem deck, and I'm like, you were staking, I swear to you, it was like. So, of course, you know, I dried the other ones off, brought them home, you know, put them in the fire pit,
mm-hmm.
and the Salem cards, they were like the alpha. So.
That was it. Salem rules.
mm-hmm. Well, it's all about witch energy, but, I mean, how come it didn't happen to that? The tea didn't ruin that deck.
Oh, I know. They wanted
the other ones out, but I mean, I do know I think much differently than most people, so I'm probably, some would say, oh, she's making more out of it, but that's how I'm wired.
Well, you know, I mean, when you look at the results, you know, and you know, if you're aware at all about what's going on around you, And you're open to possibilities, and yeah, you can entertain that. You know, I mean, I think that the state of mind of being open up to, you know, different interpretations of possibilities, what can happen, that just opens the mind for, you know, so many other positive experiences, you know.
Right, and I guess that's where our creativity lies. You know, somewhere under all the other stuff. So we have to look at things with magical eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, I think you kind of alluded to it in an earlier conversation, but there was that one age-old question that I have heard from different tarot people often is, you know, do you only touch your deck or do you allow other people, you know, the person getting the reading to?
Well, at home I have my deck that only I touch. That's
okay.
For my personal use. At the shop or when I'm doing an event, of course I let everyone shuffle them because I can't imagine not like having their energy on the cards. You know,
uh-huh.
I cleanse them in between, but for me personally, I think it's important for the people to touch them.
Yeah. I thought so too. But, you know, some people have problems with thinking the deck holds on to the energy.
Well, that's why we cleanse them.
Yeah.
And it's, for me, I think the cards understand. They're a tool,
mm-hmm.
like, I communicate with them, this is our purpose, this is what you're here for, you know, you're the vehicle to bring the messages to the people, so,
yeah,
you know, the little employees.
Yeah, well, no, that's good, you know, and again, you know, and I think, you know, the way that you do it, you know, one that is used by, you know, other people, and having that personal deck for yourself. You know, I'm the same way. I have a Voyager deck that I bought, God, now probably almost 20-something years ago.
Oh,
that,
wow.
But just mine, you know, and just because I love the imagery, and I just, you know, wanted to have that be my little experience. So I know what that's like.
Yeah, no, I think it's important that we do have our personal space, and we all, I mean, most people have like a lucky charm. They don't want anyone touching it, and, you know, it's
yeah.
It's not like, you know, we don't want anyone touching everything we own, but...
Really, right. There's the public deck and there's the private deck. So
right.
Exactly. So now, what is your hope that people are going to take away from reading the tarot diaries?
Oh, well, gee. Well, first of all, I hope they will see that witchcraft and paganism isn't dark and scary. I hope that it will open people to forgiving themselves and for understanding that even like the worst times of our life, there's magic. Like, don't focus on woe is me, look what happened. Focus on, wow, look what I overcame. And that we meet people for a reason. You know, even at the time, we might not understand the important role they'll play.
Mm-hmm.
And just to believe in magic. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it does. You know, I mean, there is, there's just so much that magic, you know, the belief in magic and what it can do, there's just, it just opens up, you know, your way of thinking to possibilities, you know, and if you're open to possibilities, then you just, you know, you're free. You know, you're free
of
to
course.
Choose. So, you know, so that's,
and
you know,
it's all about liberation and just, you know, honestly, I think that I'd like people to know that different isn't a bad thing. You know, like, if you're unique, if you're different, that's a good thing.
It is. It is. Yep. And you know, if you're a wild child in your teens and escape your...
And 20s and 30s and 40s.
That's okay.
Yeah, I really feel like I grew up with my kids a lot of times. Like my older children, I'll say to my friends, oh, my two dads, you know, they're like the very mainstream and then wonderful. I mean, these, despite having a teenage mother, these kids have excelled. Well, they're grown-ups, you know, my older kids and my daughter are just amazing people and creative and travel. They're just wonder. I mean, they all are, but you know, the older ones had a kooky teenage mother. The other ones had a more, you know, more. I don't want to say stable, but you know what I mean. A more grown up mother.
Yeah. Well, you know, the one thing I've followed you on Facebook for a long time, and you know, you share a lot of your family things, is the one thing I notice is that, you know, they are very diverse, but they're also very stronger in their own way. And to me, it was like you could see in their upbringing that they had the freedom to be who they are, you know. And
We're like the United Nations, and they're all. I'm like, some of these kids, it's like they're not even from the same planet. You know what I mean? But they're all wonderful, and I think such a thrill for me. The other day, my granddaughter Olivia brought a group of her friends to the shop for readings, and she's like, Oma. Because they call me Uma, those two grandkids call me Uma. She goes, and my son too yesterday goes, you are a rock star. The kids that, you know, they're 17, you know, they're not little kids. They enjoyed it, and they were like, how did you know this? Or you're absolutely right. Like, they were amazed, and I think that my granddaughter is taking a little bit more interest in, like, the tarot, because she's, like, a major fan, you know, it's all music and, you know, music festivals, so
she's
like, wow, like, how do you know that? So, you know,
that skip generation that, you know, that kind of happens a lot, you know, so... So, the granddaughter, I wouldn't be surprised if she followed in Uma's footsteps.
It was just a lot of fun to, like, have her there. And I felt happy that she was like, yes, my grandmother's unique, but, you know, we're not hiding her in the attic anymore. We're letting her out, you know. And she brought me flowers, and she's, like, kept thanking me and... So I hope they're all listening. I told the girls you have to tune in. So.
Okay. Well, it's in the archives, so they can always go back and listen.
All right, great.
Well, thank you for your time today, Maya.
Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.
Thank you. Mine as well. And again, listeners, if you're on Facebook, be sure to join Maya and me there and join in our conversation. So. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Maya Rose Nash, and we've been talking about her new book, The Tarot Diaries, A Journey Through Witchcraft and the Tarot. And again, her book is available from both Amazon.com and Lulu.com. And you can also find out more information about Maya at MayaNash.com. And definitely go there and check out the horoscopes. Every month she puts up the horoscopes, and that's one of my first stops. So, everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.